Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody, this night, you are going to be part of the kingdom of God. Somebody, this night, you are going to receive eternal life. Eternal life is a life that has no end. No death. No sickness. No devil. No Satan. No frustration. No bald head there. Hallelujah. No witches, no wizard there. You are just untouchable, eternal life. How many people want eternal life here? Oh, glory. We are going to minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But you need to understand, somebody here, you need to understand what the Holy Ghost is first. So that you can flow. You know, one thing I love about a children program like this is because your childlike attitude, posture, composure, your childlike heart easily receives. It's very easy to receive from Satan. And it's also very easy to receive from God. In fact, anything they give you is easy to receive it. That's why you see parents who know the effects. They begin to check you on people you should associate with, on people you should not associate with. Places you should go and places you should not go. The films you should watch and the films, the videos you should not watch. Because anything, your state of mind, state of heart is such that very easy, anything they throw on you, you will receive it. So the best thing that can happen to any ministry is to bring you out like this and cause you to receive the one that you most need. And that is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. William Branham made a statement that I believe. He said, anytime you talk about the Holy Ghost, he said he will come there. Anytime you talk about Jesus, he will come. And anytime you talk about devil, he will come also. It is who you invite that will come. Today, who are we inviting? We are inviting the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Say it again. Holy Ghost. Say it very loud. Holy Ghost. So let me just use a few minutes. Say something that can make you understand what the Holy Ghost is. And allow you to ask some questions. Amen. Four people to read for me. The first person, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Another person, get ready with Luke 24, verse 49. And another person, let's read it like that.
Matthew 3, 11.
Thank you.
I indeed baptize you with water and unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Who was the person speaking? John the Baptist. Speaking of who? Of the Lord Jesus. Somebody here. No human being has Holy Ghost to give you. He who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke 24 verse 49, another person get ready with Acts chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. Luke 24, 49.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high.
Until you be endued with power from where? Tarry. Amen. It's the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is the endowment of power from above. And so, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5.
And being assembled together with them,
yes,
commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem.
That is the disciples.
But wait for the promise of the
they
Father.
They should wait for the promise of the Father.
Which says, ye have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many each day.
Not many days hence.
Yes.
And today is that day for somebody. I said today is that day for somebody. Finally, let somebody read Acts chapter 2 again. And this time I want a very good reader because you will read it from verse 1 up to verse 18.
Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 18.
Yes.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Note verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongue, as their pastor commanded them. As the man of God said, open your mouth and talk. As the preacher say, anything that enter your mouth, just say it. They speak in tongue as what? As what? As what? It's as the Spirit gave them utterance. Number one thing you must know about the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongue is that that tongue you speak is a supernatural action. It is as the Spirit will give them utterance. The Spirit of God takes over your mouth and begins to talk. You yourself, you may hear as you may talk. Number one thing you, anybody that join us from any of these denominations here today, is throw away any tongue any man taught you. Throw away any tongue. Say it, just say it. Hararara bababa. Do 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 da da go 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 na la. The message that we are preaching is come out of error. It is a restoration ministry. It is an end time message to the end time church. And we are in the end time now. And please, if you don't take advantage of what God is doing now, worldwide, in the restoration ministry, you will be among the foolish virgins. And the foolish virgins will never make it. Because foolish people don't achieve anything good because of their foolishness. And you know what makes you a very big fool, not a small one? Because the Bible is here to guide you. But you drop this one and you are following a man. When God gave you this Bible to guide you, that is why you are foolish. In fact, very, very foolish. Tell somebody to not be your portion. Hallelujah. As the Spirit gave, because, see, everything I teach, God comes down and confirms it. That is why I am sure something will happen in somebody's life here today. Even if you don't want the Holy Ghost, He will first come to you first before you go drive and go. But He must come. Hallelujah. So get ready. Understand it so that even when you live and you are praying, because prayer for Holy Ghost is not one time. Prayer for Holy Ghost is every day. Every day. And so there is need for you to understand who the Holy Ghost is. So let's continue from verse 5.
From verse 5. And there was dwelling as Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Persians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
That was the tongue they spoke. On the day of Pentecost, the tongue they spoke were tongues that somebody listening to them understood what they were saying. Go ahead.
From verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this?
What meaneth this? Go on.
Others smoking said, These men are full of new wine. Uh-huh. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Lastly,
and on my servants and on my handmaid and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And they shall prophesy. God bless you. And that prophecy is Joel chapter 2. And verse 28 was fulfilling on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the promise of the Father. That was the promise. A promise to pour His Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And the all flesh there includes somebody sitting down here today. Who is the person? Okay, now we shall confirm it later on. So let's try to look at it. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. For God is a Spirit. And what is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God coming to dwell in a soul that has submitted his or her life to Christ. So when we say come for them, today is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember the Trinitarians will tell you he's the third person of a Trinity. No. It's not about Trinity. It is one God making himself appear for the purpose of redemption in three redemptive offices. It's the same God coming, finish a work, go back, go come again in another form, finish a work, go back, and come again in another form. It's the same God. Praise the Lord. It's the same God doing, amen, the work of redemption. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is eternal life. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. And that life, the Bible says, is in His Son. Hallelujah. And that is why He is the only one that can give the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is in Him. You want to look for eternal life, you go to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It is eternal life. What is the Holy Ghost given for? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So, what is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost given for? It is given so that you will have power to do three things. The Holy Ghost is given to us to have power to do three things. It is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. All glory be to God. Hallelujah. It is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. How is this achieved? How does that power, come about? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. Inside every human being, say, there is not good. Nothing good is in us. In fact, this is the way William Branham put it. He said, take the Holy Ghost away from a human being. He said, the human being will be worse than an animal. And is it not true? When you see a woman, dressing naked and walking in the public for people to see her nakedness, will an animal do that? When you see them killing, animals kill for food. Human beings kill and kill and kill and just kill and kill and have fun in it. But somebody with the Holy Ghost can't do that. Why? Praise God. Please try to listen. I want to congest this because this is a teaching that takes me weeks. Enough to cause you to understand who the Holy Ghost is and to desire it. The first thing I want to achieve is to cause you to desire the Holy Ghost. To desire it, because it is what you desire you have. If you don't desire something, you can't have it. Enter message churches. Some of you are from such churches. The difference between this ministry and other ministries is that concerning the manifestation of the Spirit in the church, this sign shall follow them that believe. This church, we desire it. And when we desired it, He came down, because we desired it. And when you say you don't desire, don't bring that type of thing to this church. Don't bring, I know an intermittent church. When somebody follows the anointing and speaking in tongues, they will say, take that person out. Take him out. We don't want that spirit here. So the Holy Ghost will take it. Say, they don't want me here. Don't go. But when you desire the Holy Ghost, then you position yourself for God to give you the that greatest gift anybody can have on earth. That is what money cannot buy. And yet it's the most precious thing. For what shall it profit a man? You gain all the degrees on earth. Do you know that almost all the billionaires on earth are not Christians? Anytime I see them, they are being celebrated everywhere in the world. But that's where it ends. But I want to be celebrated both here and there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want eternal life. So you better try to understand this quickly. When he gave an ordinance in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, he says, he forbade Israel from eating blood. He forbade Israel from eating blood. And the reason is, can we read it? Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Yes? There's a very good reader by the side here.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
For the life
of the flesh.
Of this flesh is where?
In the blood.
It's in the blood. Uh-huh.
And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls.
To make an atonement for your soul.
For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Praise the Lord. So, there was something special concerning the blood of the animal that it was foreshadowing. God bless you, be seated. That was foreshadowing, and I want you to catch this point very well, that there's something about the blood. Something about the blood. Hallelujah. There is a life that is in the blood. It says, hallelujah. The life of this flesh that you are seeing, so that's making me jump up and down and say, I have life, 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 life. I'm not dead, I'm alive. The thing that is keeping me alive, he says, it is in the blood. It is not the blood, though. Are you understanding that English? The life is not the blood. The life is in the blood. That is what gives the flesh life. Praise the Lord. And so, he said, he is giving it at the altar for atonement. Because the soul that sinneth shall die. But everyone will die because this flesh cannot keep the law. There is nothing in this flesh that can help, that can make any human being live a life that is pleasing before God. Hallelujah. So God projected his mercy again and provided an animal, the sacrificial animal. If you commit any sin once in a year, but you are to come bring that animal, bring an animal before the high priest on the table, on the temple, and the high priest, you will confess your sin, place your hand on that animal, agree that, yes, I deserve to die because I'm a sinner. But I have brought this animal, instead of me to die, for this animal to die. And so, the blood, the animal is slaughtered, he's struggling. As he's struggling with death, the blood is sprinkled at the altar. And when that blood is shed like that, the sinner, whatever sin you have committed, by that blood, it is atoned. But now, Apostle Paul then brought out something. Who will help me read Hebrews chapter 10? Verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Verse 1 to 4. The difference between the blood of the animal and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commands thereunto perfect. What he's saying here, okay, let me finish reading the verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered the sacrifices, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Let me explain it for anybody hearing me for the first time. What Apostle Paul is explaining to us in the book of Hebrew here is that you came last year, you confessed your sin, like the Catholic religion does. You confess your sin, the animal dies, they shed the blood, then you go. But the nature of sin in you is still there. So you have to repeat that same confession and that sacrifice again next year, because there is nothing in the blood of that animal that can affect the conscience of that sinner that came. Oh, glory be to God. Let's say in the name of the Lord. That is the difference between the blood of an animal and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ, our sacrificial lamb. For God so loved the world that he offered his only begotten son to do what? As a sacrificial lamb that we die to take away our sin. How did he achieve it? Praise God. Hallelujah. How did he achieve it? The blood of that animal. There is a life in that blood of that animal. But the life that is in that blood of that animal has no power to affect the conscience and change a sinner to a saint. But there is a life in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a life in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when you place your faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection, you come by faith to the cross on Calvary. You identify with that sacrifice he offered on the cross on Calvary. And you heard him say in John chapter 19, it is finished. And what did he do? He gave up the ghost. The ghost he gave up is the life that is in his blood. And it is the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory be to God. That is the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost I'm sharing with you now. That is why when you come and that ghost comes inside of you, because you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection, demonstrated by first repentance, confessing your worthiness before the Lord and telling him truly you don't want to live such useless life. And you come to the cross of Calvary through that ordinance of water baptism. You come out of that water. Hallelujah. He said, repent, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent first and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is when that ghost that was released on the cross on Calvary is moving all around to see who has truly repented. Since the day of Pentecost, it was released. He came down, and since then, he's still moving all around for anyone that we truly repent, truly decide to serve him, so that he can come and come inside that person. And when he comes inside of you, hallelujah, That is why he said, ye shall receive power. The power is that power of transformation. That will transform a sinner to a saint. That Holy Ghost coming inside of you is the new birth. Is the power of transformation, that the power that translates you, transforms you from the old nature you are to a new nature of holiness and righteousness. If a man be in Christ, what is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the process whereby you are brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is what brings you into the family of God. If a man be in Christ, by one spirit, the Bible says, we are baptized into that one body. Hallelujah. Except you are baptized, hallelujah. Except, how did he put it? John, you are born of the spirit and of water. He said you cannot enter. To enter into the kingdom, you must be born again. You are not born again until you receive the Holy Ghost baptism. It is, you are not born again because you have made a decision to follow Christ. Make a decision to follow Christ is number one. And you confirm it maybe by going to church. And it's not for you to use your own effort and make decision. I'll not do this again. I'll not do this again. I'll not do this again. If it is by your own effort, you will come back to it very soon. Hallelujah. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How? Because the Spirit of God comes inside of you and deals with your sin nature. Your conscience is now affected. You now begin to know that there are certain things you shouldn't do, and there are things that you should do now that you are in Christ Jesus. That is why when truly you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you stand out different anywhere you are. You stand out different. And people can receive the Holy Ghost from the age of 7 years. I know people who have received the Holy Ghost at the age of 7 years. I know a young girl who was crying for the man that was coming to her for marriage. And the Holy Ghost said, this is the man. And there was something wrong with the man. I think there was a particular sickness with the man or so. And then she was crying. She was telling the Lord, Lord, since the age of 7 years, I gave my life to you. I have lived a life pleasing before you. I have not defiled this body. So, is this the type of man you will give me for my reward for all the life I live for you? She could face God and tell God why she was sure of the type of life she lived. Say, from age 7. She gave her life to Christ. She received the Holy Ghost. So, it is not about age. It is about a decision truly made from the heart. There's a boldness that comes. You can preach anywhere. Preach, no fear. Say it. Even if it will cost your life. You're not afraid. It's by the power that you have received. And then the third power is the power to cast out the devils. Cast out the devils. Heal the sick. Miracle, signs and wonders. Power. That shows that we are serving a living God. That is what the Holy Ghost is giving for. And so also, because it is the power of transformation, you can understand John chapter 1, verse 11, verse 12. He came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons and daughters, of course, of God. The power to make you a son of God, is a daughter of God, is the same power that transforms a sinner to to a saint. Hallelujah. What is the Holy Ghost given for? Romans 8:15 calls him the spirit of adoption. Hallelujah. That can make a worthless person. That's why it is called grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I can see. Amazing grace. What is grace? Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Man does not have the ability to live a life pleasing before God. So God comes and lives inside of you by his spirit and gives you the ability to live a life pleasing before him. This ability does not come by set of laws written anywhere. Something inside of you just causes you to live a life. You just know what is wrong, what is right, and what is wrong. And you just know what to do to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the meaning of grace. You are not part of grace if you are going to church and you are still living a life of sin. You are lying. You are cheating. You are gossiping. There's a hatred in you. When people are suffering, they are in pains. You are happy. You are laughing. You are enjoying somebody suffering. See somebody suffering. You are fornicating. You are drinking, doing all the things God hates. And you are going to church. You are only a church member. You are not part of the kingdom. Because you have not yet experienced grace. See? The spirit of adoption. Where we cry, Abba, Father. Suddenly you who didn't have a father before, now you have a father. By that spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. He says, if you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. The evidence that you are a Christian is that you have the spirit of Christ. And the spirit of Christ is the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 is the hope. The Holy Ghost is the hope of resurrection. Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. The power to bring back to life is in Christ Jesus by the Holy Ghost. And so Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, and you die, and you are also buried, that grave could not hold Jesus captive because there was a spirit that was in him, which is the Holy Ghost. That same Holy Ghost is in you in the resurrection morning. When the dead in Christ shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. We shall rise. By that same spirit that dwelleth, he said, you will be quickened. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only reason you are sure if you die today, you will go to heaven, is because you are sure also you have the Holy Ghost. That is the only reason. That is the visa to cross the border to eternal life. And let me tell you, you will not go to heaven because you were a minister in the church. You were a singer in the church. You were a worker in the church. People struggle to be workers in the church instead of struggling to have eternal life. The only reason you will go to heaven is because you have the Holy Ghost. But we don't want to go to heaven and go and remain redundant. Amen. So when you are born again, you are given a gift. You use it to serve God so that when you go to heaven, you give account and you will receive your reward. That's why we work in the church and we work generally for the advancement of the kingdom. So, it is the hope of the resurrection. It is the hope of glory. That is what the Holy Ghost is given for. And John chapter 14 verse 26 tells us the Holy Ghost is the comforter. And he's also a teacher. He will teach you all things. Why is he the comforter? Because Apostle Paul let us know, even Christ himself said, if you will follow me, you want to decide to follow me, what should you do? Pick up your cross and follow me. And Apostle Paul said, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. As a Christian, once you give your life to Christ, you will face trials, you face temptation, you will find frustration, all to make sure you change your confession. All to make sure you will notice that wicked people don't suffer like people who try to live a life pleasing before God. And so, hallelujah, before you know what, he knows that what we shall go through. So, he gives us the Holy Ghost that comforts us in moments like that. Something inside of you will just be speaking comfort to you, even though you are suffering. So it enables you to go through. And he's also a teacher. He will teach you all things that pertain unto godliness. Praise the Lord. And John also chapter 16 verse 13 calls the Holy Ghost the Spirit of truth. And that he will guide you unto all truth. Hallelujah. You want to see anybody who claims, you know, they ask him, what is truth? Thy word is truth. This Bible is truth. The word of God is truth. And God cannot contradict himself. Any voice that speaks to you, we will judge it by this. If it goes contrary to anything written here, it is not of God. Any anointing that you are displaying in any way, anyhow, any anointing, that's why the Bible forbids women pastor. The Bible forbids woman Jew. Woman apostle. But the woman may not know. And she's very anointed. But if you want to test whether she has the Holy Ghost or not, you will go with the word test. Mommy, the Bible says, I permit not a woman to teach the usurp authority over the man. The Bible says, let the woman keep silence in the churches. Mommy, this is the Bible. If she said, get out, what do you know? Get out. It is evident she doesn't have the Holy Ghost. If she has the Holy Ghost inside of her wrote this Bible. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible says so. How can the Holy Ghost in you deny what he wrote here? That's how we know the false preachers and the true preachers. By the spirit that dwells inside of you. And let me tell you, I know many women who have pastored before. Even one was here yesterday. In fact, she's here now, sir. She pastored somewhere before. When she came across this truth, the Holy Spirit inside of her, she handed over. I know also a church in Abuja that the woman immediately handed over to her son and sat down and said, hey, we didn't know that we are out of the will of God. And many more. Praise the Lord. It will guide you to all truth. If you have received the Holy Ghost, and let me quickly tell you this, you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. You can receive the Holy Ghost in a cellar church. You can receive the Holy Ghost under that woman pastor, woman Jew. You can receive genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you can receive the Holy Ghost even in the bathroom as you are bathing. You can receive the Holy Ghost inside toilet. You can receive the Holy Ghost in the kitchen. And you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere. Anywhere God chooses, because he's the one that gives. When we say receive the Holy Ghost now, and maybe you think nothing happened to you, don't worry. Maybe God has designed a particular place and time for you. Amen. But when he does it, you will know that he has done it. Praise the Lord. But how do we know it is the Holy Ghost? If you have received the Holy Ghost, it will lead you to all truth. If where you are, there's something wrong with it, you become uncomfortable in that place. Hallelujah. You may not know the Bible, you may not know the scripture that they are breaking, but something inside of you will reject it, reject it. You become uncomfortable until you leave that place. That is him now leading you. He has led you out of that place. Before you know it, one of these days, you will jam a track somewhere. Warn your pastor. Who has ever seen that track? You have ever seen the track? It may be your television. You are scrolling one day, you just jam bright television. Eh? What are they saying? And the Bible said, the deep calleth to the deep. There is a deep to respond. Hallelujah. When truth is speaking and you have the spirit of truth, there will be a reaction. There will be, hallelujah, there will be a response that something will bear with, let them be this. Praise the Lord. And then you find your escape fast from such a place. Praise the Lord. That's why we don't believe anybody comes across our ministry by accident. It is God leading you. And if you come by accident, very soon you will leave and go back to Catholic Church, to Sele, to Anglican, where you belong. Amen.